The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" The disciples told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming dominion of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord. You can be seated. When word came of his approach, throngs of worshipers poured out of Jerusalem's western gate, lining the dusty road, pressing against each other, vying for a view of the man, the myth, the legend, the great keeper of the peace himself, Pontius Pilate. It was the start of Passover, the most sacred of all Jewish festivals, and Jerusalem was buzzing. Devout Jews from afar and wide had converged upon the holy city to commemorate God's historic liberation of Israel from Egyptian enslavement. For a people struggling under the yoke of yet another oppressive superpower, this time Rome, Passover also served as a painful reminder. They were no longer free. That the freedom they were celebrating in the Passover was no longer true. Year after year, the Jewish people came together to retell the story of God winning their liberation. And year after year, they hoped God would do so once again. With so many people dreaming of independence, all gathering in one place, Jerusalem often became a volatile flashpoint during Passover. In fact, the week had a historic track record of inciting violence. During Passover in 4 BCE, a group of frustrated Jews enlisted recruits in the temple, and they stoned to death a company of Roman soldiers. In response, the provincial ruler, Herod Archelaus, son of Herod the Great, rushed the entire army into the city and promptly crushed the uprising. 3,000 Jews died. And that year's Passover celebration was canceled. From then on, every year, Rome sought to prevent any further uprisings from happening during Passover. Peace and order would be the name of the game at any cost. Which is why, at this particular Passover, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, left his coastal home in Caesarea Maritima and marched his army east toward Jerusalem. This was how Rome ensured there would not be any more uprisings during Passover. As Pilate's procession neared the city, everyone came out of the woodwork to see this massive display of force. It was a visual exhibition of imperial power. Cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun bouncing off the metal and the gold. And the sight of this procession accomplished its purpose. All thoughts of resisting Rome were futile. Revolt at your own peril. The dreams of independence that Passover stirred up in the Jewish people were crushed. Rome was there, and rebellion was not an option. That was the scene approaching Jerusalem from the west. On the other side of town, in the east, a different procession was happening. A person with a different kind of power was entering the same city from the opposite direction. A miracle worker, a healer, a teacher. And it seemed inevitable that as these two forces entered Jerusalem at the same time, a collision was going to occur. Maybe Passover's hope of liberation wasn't entirely gone. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is a kind of counter procession to the one that's happening on the other side of town. Both processions have the same goal, to bring peace. But the methods and the ideologies behind each procession are as different as the directions from which they approach. There are three symbols in this episode worth noting: the donkey, the cloaks on the road, and the palm branches. The gospel writer goes out of the way to explain how the animal that Jesus will ride into Jerusalem is borrowed. Let's think about that for a second. Why is it so important to capture the details of Jesus borrowing this donkey? The procession on the opposite side of town is not only about military power, but it's also a display of wealth. All of those war horses carrying soldiers into town were bought and paid for by Rome at great expense. But Jesus has no qualms about not owning a vehicle. He's content to borrow what is needed. And it also signaled his claim as king. The rights of a king allowed them to request modes of transportation from anyone at any time. The cloaks on the road were another symbol. It was the traditional action done at the coronation of a king. The people saw the potential of Jesus to be their next monarch and fight for their peace and their well-being. The palm branches were another loaded symbol. Some people think of the palms like those giant foam hands at the football games. Jesus is number one. But their meaning is far more than that. 200 years before this Passover, there was a different empire than Rome that was calling the shots. This time it was the Greeks, the Seleucid Empire. They had desecrated the temple by sacrificing a pig in it. And their king ordered everyone to make offerings to their gods. And as the king's inspector entered one of the Judean towns, resistance was met. Mattathias, an old priest, killed the king's inspector, tore down the foreign altar, and fled to the hills. And it was his son, Judas, nicknamed the Hammer, which is what Maccabeus means in Hebrew. Judas the Hammer, that rallied and fought for independence and recaptured the temple in Jerusalem. And as Judas entered town in his triumphal entry, his followers were waving something: palm branches. They began minting coins with palm branches on them. It was the symbol of their independence. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem The people were looking for another hero, like Judas, the hammer, someone to lead a war, someone to overthrow the oppressors, someone to take up the sword, someone to rally the cause of independence. And Jesus was coming into a type of battle, but it was not the type of battle that the people expected or that they wanted. In fact, by the end of the week, their cheers and their cries for help and liberation will be turned. By the end of the week, they will realize that their hero is not Jesus. They will give up on him, and they will call for crucifixion. And you will witness it. Amen.